Shalom, brothers and sisters. Thank you for listening. We are brothers from 12 Tribes of Israel. Our website is 12tribes.net or riseisrael.com. Today's topic, we're going to be covering how we are to dress in accordance to the Heavenly Father's law. To begin, we're going to start off in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. Let's read that.
1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own?
Right. We understand that our bodies are supposed to be the temple or the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. It says, which is in you. Who gave you the Holy Spirit? It says that ye have of God, and that ye are not your own. What does that mean, that you're not your own? Once you come to understand who you are and you start learning that you're an Israelite, you need to start learning how you are to conduct yourself physically, how your body is to be kept holy unto the Most High. Because you're no longer thinking that you came of your own. Now you understand that you were created by God and that you are His chosen people, that you are His son or that you are His daughter. So you're not your own. Continue.
Verse 20. For ye are bought with a price.
Right. For ye are bought with a price. What does that mean, you are bought with a price? Well, initially we were bought into slavery. So-called white men in the other nations had us as slaves. But now, this is not talking about you being enslaved. This is talking about how He's buying you out of slavery. He's buying you out of bondage. He's buying you out of sin, out of captivity. For you are bought with a price. What was the price? The price was the blood of Christ. That was the ransom, the payment that was given by the Most High. Continue.
Therefore, glorify God in your body.
So therefore, because now you are given the chance of repentance, now you're given the chance to come out of captivity, out of this slavery, and into the marvelous kingdom and the promised land that the Most High is going to give unto our people. Therefore, we must glorify the Most High in our bodies. Why? Because His Spirit is dwelling in us, if we are obedient to His commandments. Read on.
And in your spirit, which are God's.
Right, they belong to the Most High because He bought you with the blood of Christ. So it says, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit. Because a lot of times people think that it's all about the spirit. No. You also have a body. And it belongs to who? The Most High. It says, which are God's. Let's prove a little bit about you were bought with a price. Let's first deal with captivity. Let's go to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 28. And we're going to read verse 48. To show you what happened to our people and how did we learn how to dress. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 48.
Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 48. Therefore shalt thou serve thy enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee in hunger.
So stop. So the Heavenly Father punished us by sending our enemies, not our friends, our enemies in hunger. Why it says in hunger? Because when we were hungry, we had to serve our enemy to get our food. We have to work for our foods. In hunger, continue.
And in thirst.
So also in our thirst. So you relied on your slave master to provide you for your food, for your drink, continue.
And in nakedness.
And in nakedness. So how would you cover your nakedness? How would you get clothes? Well, your slave master provided what? The clothes. So now it says, and in nakedness, continue.
And in want of all things.
So anything that you wanted, you had to go to who? Your enemies for. Continue.
And he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until he have destroyed thee.
Right. So now, if we submit to the ways of our enemies, to what he has taught us in the way we eat, the way we drink, the way we dress, that will lead us to what? Destruction. So now, you're no longer being bought with the price of man's money, of gold and silver, of musket guns, wine and whiskey. You're the Lord's free servant now. You have been made free through the truth of the Most High. You know who you are. The price that was paid was the blood of Christ so that you could repent, so that you could now eat, drink, and cover your nakedness according to how the Heavenly Father said and commanded you to do. Let's go to the book of 1 Peter chapter 1 because we want you to understand how you were bought with a price. 1 Peter chapter 1. And we're going to start at verse 14.
1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 14. As obedient children.
Right, because now we're supposed to be obedient children to the God of Israel. As obedient children, continue.
Not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance.
Right, because now the fashion, the way we used to dress, it was according to ignorance, according to lust. What does it mean according to lust? Meaning they're trying to impress the women, the other sex. Some are trying to dress up like women, even though they're men. You have people being dressed according to their lust, according to their evil sexual thoughts. Some dress to allure the eyes of men. Oh, I want this guy to look at my behind. I want this guy to look at my breast. You have some men dressing so that their chest and their bodies can be seen, or the muscle shirts and stuff like that. We no longer are to dress according to the fashion of this world, according to what we learned in captivity, in the bondage of sin. Continue.
Verse 15. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation.
Right, because if the Heavenly Father is holy, then the conversation, the way that we walk, the way that we speak, the way we act, physically and mentally, we're going to be also what? Holy as he is holy. Because the Spirit of God is supposed to be dwelling in us. Our body is just a temple. Continue.
Verse 16. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy.
Right. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Let's jump down. Let's read verse 18.
Verse 18. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things.
Right. What does it mean you were not redeemed? Meaning you were not bought out. You were not saved by corruptible things. What are the corruptible things? Let's read.
As silver and gold.
Right. You were not purchased by him giving you silver, by giving the white man silver, or by giving any other nation that had your captivity with silver or gold. That's not how you're going to get bought out. Continue.
From your vain conversation received by tradition from your father.
Right, because the vain conversation was the traditions that were taught to us that they learned from who? Their slave masters. So everything that we have learned that is tradition, we got to start looking and finding out whether it's holy or not. We need to start looking into the commandments of the Most High and seeing if it fits what the Heavenly Father calls holy. Continue.
Verse 19. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot.
That's how he bought you. He bought you with the precious blood of Christ. Just like a lamb that was given in sacrifice for our sin, he became the sin offering unto the Most High. Without blemish, he had no sin. He had no spot, meaning there was no blame. Christ was holy unto the Most High. Continue.
Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world.
Right, before anything was created, Christ was meant to be our Redeemer, our Savior, our King. Continue.
But was manifest in these last times for you.
Right, in these last days, he's being made manifest. How? By teaching you the commandments and the scriptures, because he said to you, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So you thought all this time you were free because you were walking without shackles, but guess what? You have been destroyed because you have lack of knowledge. And if you continue walking and fashioning yourselves according to this world, you will be destroyed. And we'll prove that at the end of this class. But let's cover the laws that the Heavenly Father gave us of how to dress. So now to begin, let's go to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 22. Because first thing that you must know is that clothes come from a certain material. There's a tag on the clothes that tells you what kind of material is made from. So before you could think of purchasing that garment, that shirt, that dress, or whatever kind of article of clothing you're picking up, you have to research and see whether this is lawful to even purchase. Because let's read the law to understand what we're saying. Deuteronomy 22 and verse 11.
Deuteronomy chapter 22 verse 11. Thou shalt not wear a garment of diverse sorts.
Right. Thou shalt not wear a garment. You shall not wear clothing that is of diverse sorts. The word diverse means that it's of various kinds of material. For example, if you buy a shirt and the shirt says 50% cotton and 50% polyester, that is diverse sorts. It is not holy. It's not pure. Continue.
As of woolen and linen together.
And in case you didn't understand the first part of the law, the Heavenly Father gives you an example. As if you have wool and linen interwoven together. A shirt being made of two different kinds of material. So what does that mean? That means that when you buy a skirt, when you buy a shirt, a blouse, when you buy jeans, when you buy socks, when you buy underwear, whatever material it is made from, it has to be 100%. In other words, it has to say 100% cotton, 100% polyester, 100% nylon, 100% linen, 100% wool. Whatever it is, it just must be what? Of one kind, of sort, of one kind of material. Why does the Most High have us to pick out clothes that is of only one material? Because he told you already that he is what? Holy and pure. So he wants you to understand that you are to be holy and not to mingle things together. Just like we're not to mingle with the other nations, just like we're not to mingle our foods with unclean things, we are not to mingle our clothes with different kinds of material. Let's go to the book of Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 19 to read another scripture that basically says the exact same thing, but it helps us understand a little better what we just read in Deuteronomy. Leviticus 19 verse 19.
Leviticus chapter 19 verse 19. You shall keep my statutes.
Right, so you shall keep the Most High statutes. What is a statute? A statute is basically one of the commandments. Continue.
Thou shalt not let thy cattle gender with diverse kind.
You shall not let your cattle gender with diverse kind, meaning you don't have horses with cows. You are not to let different kinds of cattle deal with each other. Continue.
Thou shalt not sow thy field with mingled seed.
You're not to sow your field with mingled seed. In other words, if you're planting a crop in a farm, you're not to, in the same place where you're planting apple seed, plant orange seed. You're to separate the land based on what seed you're going to grow. So you're not to mingle the seed together. Continue.
Neither shall a garment mingle of linen and woolen come upon thee.
So now here explains the law that we read in Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy it says, thou shalt not wear garments of diverse sorts. What does a garment of diverse sorts mean? It means of what? Two different kinds of material, like wool that comes from sheep, and linen that comes from what? Like cotton or from the earth, being mixed or mingled together. So it cannot be of mixed material. It must be of 100% of whatever you're buying. This is clearly showing us how to start off in picking our clothes. So the first step in making clothes is making sure that whatever clothing you have, it is of one kind of material. That's the first step. Now, what is the next step? The next step is making your clothes according to your gender. What does it mean, making your clothes according to your gender? If you're a man, the clothes have to be for what? For men. If you're a woman, the clothes have to be for what? For women. Let's go back to Deuteronomy 22 to show you that. And let's read verse 5. Deuteronomy chapter 22 and verse 5.
Deuteronomy 22 and verse 5. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man.
The woman is not to wear that which pertaineth. The word pertaineth means belongs. That which belongs unto a man. So now, like, let me give you an example. A lot of times you might see this on TV, even in your homes, where you might have a woman, she wakes up in the morning and put on her man's boxers. She might put on her man's shirt. She is not to put any article of clothing that belongs to men. Notice the Moses said, that which belongs to men. Why it says that? Because there's certain things that are only made for men. For example, pants. Women are not to wear pants. The law of the Most High forbids it. What law? This one we just read. Because it says, that which pertains unto a man, the woman should not wear it. Let's read it from the top. Read it again.
The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man.
Continue.
Neither shall a man put on a woman's garment.
So it's just like you understand that if a man puts on a dress, like you see it sometimes in these comedy shows, you have Martin dressing like Shanae, you have Martin dressing like Big Mama, you have Tyler Perry dressing like Big Mama. So now you see these men being dressed like women, you see transvestites trying to imitate how a woman looks. You know exactly what belongs to a woman because you could point out immediately that that man is dressed like a woman. Guess what? You could also point out a woman that is a lesbian, a dyke, a butch, because she's dressed like who? Like a man. What does she wear? Does she wear a dress? No, she wears pants. She wears men's clothing. First of all, let's prove that pants existed and that it was made for men. Let's go to the book of Exodus chapter 28 and we're going to read from verse 42. Exodus 28 and verse 42. To show you, brothers and sisters, that pants were in fact made for men. Let's read that.
Exodus chapter 28 and verse 42, and thou shalt make them linen breeches.
So thou shalt make them linen breeches. The word breeches, if you look it up in any dictionary, it lets you know that it means trousers. Another word that is for trousers is pants. So linen breeches. In the old days, people used to say, pick up your breeches, which is the same thing as saying what? Pick up your pants. Continue.
To cover their nakedness.
To cover their nakedness. Now, just in case you don't have a dictionary at home, the scriptures themselves is going to describe to you how the breeches were made. Continue.
From the loins even unto the thighs.
What does it mean from the loins? It means from your nakedness, from your privates. From your privates even unto what?
The thigh.
Continue.
They shall reach.
Ah, so showing you that they were pants. They cover what? Your midsection all the way down to your thigh. They were basically, these breeches that were made for the priest, they were kind of like shorts. Continue reading.
And they shall be upon Aaron.
Upon Aaron. Who was Aaron? Aaron was the high priest, the brother of Moses. Continue.
And upon his sons.
And upon his sons. Showing you that this was made for who? For men. Continue.
When they come in unto the tabernacle of the congregation, or when they come near unto the altar to minister into the holy place.
Right. Why would they have to wear this when they come to the holy place, unto the altar of the Most High? Because the Most High did not want to see their nakedness. So he made a commandment that they were to wear pants. Hold your spot here in Exodus 28. Let's go to Exodus chapter 20. And we're going to read the last verse, which is verse 26. Because this law was made specifically so that the children of Aaron, the priest, and all the Israelite men that would come to sacrifice unto the Lord would not show their nakedness. Exodus 20 and verse 26.
Neither shalt thou go up by the steps unto mine altar.
Right, so the Heavenly Father saying, you cannot go by steps up to the altar. What happens when you go up steps? And if you have a garment on, and you have no pants on, people are going to see what's under your garment. So he said, don't go up by steps unto my altar. Read.
That thy nakedness be not discovered thereon.
That thy nakedness be not discovered thereon, so that thy nakedness will not be seen. So therefore, in chapter 28 and verse 43, he said, and they shall be upon Aaron and upon his sons when they come in unto the tabernacle of the congregation, or when they come near unto the altar to minister in the holy place. Why? Because he did not want their nakedness to be seen. Continue.
That they bear not iniquity and die. It shall be a statute forever unto him and his seed after him.
Right, so pants were made even way back then. And who did it belong to? It belonged to men. Now, you might be saying, well, there's female pants now. Well, let me tell you something. Those so-called female pants that you speak of or you might be thinking of, those things did not come until recently. Back in the past, before the 1950s, you hardly saw a woman wear pants. And if she did, she would be looked upon as a lesbian or as a prostitute. Now, you look at it as something common for a woman to wear pants. And you call it female pants because they're tight on their body, which the Heavenly Father forbids for what? For us to be showing off our bodies. Now, let's prove to you that, first of all, women were not wearing pants back in the days. Go to the book of Isaiah. Let's read in the book of Isaiah to see if women wore pants. Because a lot of our people think that things are unisex. Is a dress unisex? No, dress belongs to a woman. Like pants belong to who? A man. Isaiah 47 verse 1.
Isaiah chapter 47 verse 1. Come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon.
Now, Babylon is a country, is a nation. But the Heavenly Father is comparing this nation to a woman. He called her a virgin. He said, O virgin daughter of Babylon. Continue.
Sit on the ground. There is no throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans. For thou shalt no more be called tender and delicate.
Right, because Babylon is basically the same Babylon that we read in Revelations. That is tender and delicate, meaning that is rich. That is basically known to be a harlot, a whore. When you read in the book of Revelations, chapter 18 or 17. So continue reading.
Verse 2. Take the millstones and grind meal.
Because instead of her being in power and being dressed tender and delicate and wearing scarlet red robes and things of that nature, now she's the one that has to go to what? To work. She's the one that has to do the millstone. She's the one that has to grind meal. Continue.
uncover thy locks. Make bare the leg, uncover thy thigh, pass over the rivers. Thy nakedness shall be uncovered.
So hold on. Uncover, make bare the leg, he said, right? Uncover the thigh. It says, thy nakedness shall be uncovered. Did she have breeches on? The Most High shows you that what? That women were not wearing what? Breeches. That what would be shown? Her nakedness instead. If she puts up her garment or her skirt up, guess what you'll see? You will not see pants underneath. You will see nakedness. That's what the Heavenly Father was showing us, that back then, women did not wear pants. Let's go to another example. Let's go to the book of Nahum. Because I want you to understand that the priest, from the loins to what? To the thigh, was the breeches. So that his nakedness will be what? Covered. So here in the book of Nahum, the Most High is going to give us another example showing us that what? That women did not wear pants. Nahum chapter 3 and verse 4.
Nahum chapter 3 and verse 4. Because of the multitude of the whoredom of the well-favored harlot.
Now a harlot is basically a prostitute. Okay, a harlot is a whore. So the Most High said because of the whoredom of the well-favored, because everybody looks upon this Babylon as beautiful, as the well-favored harlot, read.
The mistress of witchcraft that selleth nations through her whoredoms.
Right, because all the nations have learned to be dealing with whoredoms, to deal with idolatry, to deal with witchcraft. Remember that the way you covered your nakedness was according to what you were taught in slavery. Now you're learning how to cover your nakedness according to the Most High. Continue.
And families through her witchcraft.
Right, so families get destroyed. Families get sold, and nations get sold through her witchcrafts. Because what you have to understand is that your families are divided because you're following the wrong ways of America. You're following the wrong examples. Now let's see how a whore back then used to dress. Continue.
Behold, I am against thee, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will discover thy skirt upon thy face, and I will show the nations thy nakedness, and thy kingdoms thy shame.
So notice what he said, that he would do what? Take the skirt and put it upon her face. Have you ever heard that expression that cats be saying sometimes when they're trying to be tough and talking to somebody or talking to the man, you know, some other guy? He's like, yo, son, you know what I'm saying?
I'm going to put your skirt up.
They be trying to say it rough to the cat. They be like, I'm going to lift up your skirt, son. You know, you know, that old expression came from the Most High. It wasn't invented by us. But guess what? When you say that to a man, you basically insulting him. You saying that he's what? He's a woman. And nobody knows it until you do what? Until you pull up his skirt. So here it is, it said that the Most High said, I will pull the skirt upon thy face. And what's underneath it? Is it pants that's underneath it?
Mm-mm.
No, it says thy nakedness. So now even prostitutes back then knew how to dress. Whereas today, you can't tell the difference between a prostitute and a regular woman. Because all of them are dressed according to whoredoms. All are dressed according to what Babylon has taught. So now, let's get back to the law in Deuteronomy 22 and 5. Let's see how women are to dress. Deuteronomy chapter 22, and let's read verse 5.
Deuteronomy 22 and verse 5. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. For all that do so are an abomination unto the Lord thy God.
Right, what this is called? This is called cross-dressing. And that means that a man being dressed like a woman is an abomination. What is an abomination? Something filthy and disgusting in the eyesight of the Most High. So when you look at Martin, Tyler Perry, Eddie Murphy, when you look at any of the so-called comedians dressing up like women, and we find it funny, it's not really funny. In the eyesight of the Most High, something wicked and disgusting. Because what happens is that it's pacifying the sin. That's like if you see your son put on your wife's pumps, if you see your son put on the makeup and your wife's clothing, it's not something to laugh at. That's something to correct the child and punish him for. Let's go to the book of Proverbs to show you that that's not something to laugh at. You got it?
Yeah, Proverbs 14 and verse 9. Fools mock at sin.
The scripture said fools. Fools mock at sin. You know what it means to mock? To laugh at sin. That's funny. Look at him. He's dressed like a woman. No, you're not supposed to be laughing at that. Fools mock at sin. What happens later on if you don't correct that? Then your son is going to be talking about when he gets older that he feels like a woman inside. Okay? That's unfortunate, you know, but that's because you're not raising your children right.
Right.
So he got that feminine spirit now on him. And then you got your daughters having that masculine spirit because they want to be dressed like who? They want to be dressed like the boys. She want to be a tomboy. Mm-hmm. Do not laugh it off. The scripture says, fools mock at sin. Continue.
But among the righteous, there is favor.
Right. Among the righteous, there is mercy. There is what? Grace. Among the righteous, there's not going to be that disgrace where you coming home and you finding your children doing homosexuality, doing cross-dressing, travestite, having that sort of confusion in your home. Let's go to the Apocrypha real quick. And let's read in Ecclesiasticus. Because a lot of times people like to laugh off a lot of things. Ecclesiasticus 7 and verse 23.
Ecclesiasticus chapter 7 verse 23. Hast thou children? Instruct them and bow down their neck from their youth.
So if you have children, you have to instruct them in what the Most High said. From a child, you have to treat them with wisdom. You have to instruct them and bring them up in the way that they should walk even when they are grown. Listen, son, this is how you're supposed to dress as a man. Listen, daughter, this is how you're supposed to dress as a woman. That they may be respectful people when they grow up. Continue.
As thou daughters, have a care of their body.
If you have daughter, don't be dressing your daughter while she's young like a whore. Because you have like 3-year-olds and they're already a whore in training. Why? Because they don't know how to dress them. You have to treat your daughters with care. You have to be worried about the fact that our daughters are having children in the father's homes, raising up children by themselves. Continue.
And show not thyself cheerful toward them.
And show not thyself cheerful toward them. You know what it means? It's show not thyself cheerful toward them. If she's a tomboy, that's not something to be cheerful about. If she shaking her behind and dressed like with the poom poom shorts at a young age, that's not something to be laughing about. Oh, look how cute and sexy she looked. That's not something funny in the eyesight of the Most High. That's an abomination unto the Lord thy God. All right, let's go to the chapter 30 of Ecclesiasticus. Ecclesiasticus chapter 30, let's read verse 9.
Ecclesiasticus chapter 30 and verse 9. Cock of thy child, and he shall make thee afraid.
The cock of thy child means that if you don't instruct them, if you don't tell them what is wrong, and on top of that you don't punish them, you cock of them, meaning you laugh it off, you pacify it, the Most High said, he's going to make you afraid. You know why he's going to make you afraid? Because he knows that you're not going to punish him. Oh, dad, don't beat me. Dad is not going to say nothing. Yeah, I'm going to wear panties and bras, although I'm a man child. I know that daddy doesn't like that, but he always talking about he's going to beat me, but he never does it. All right, continue.
Play with him, and he will bring thee to heaviness.
Right, you playing with him. Oh, son, do that again. Do that again. Wear your mom's pumps. Wear your mom's bra. And guess what? You're going to be in heaviness. Continue.
Laugh not with him.
You hear that? Laugh not with him because it's not funny. Laugh not with him, read.
Lest thou have sorrow with him.
Right, because in the end, what's going to happen? When he gets AIDS as a punishment from God, you're going to have sorrow. You're going to be like, oh, my son, what happened to you? When he's getting ridiculed, you're not going to be laughing. Continue.
And lest thou gnash thy teeth in the end.
Right, to gnash your teeth means when Christ comes back to destroy, who are going to be gnashing their teeth? Those that will be punished with the wrath of God. Matter of fact, let's prove that. Because Christ is going to come back, and he will punish those that are dressed unlawfully. Let's go to the book of Matthew 24 and verse 51. Let's read that.
Matthew chapter 24 and verse 51. And shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrite.
Because a hypocrite is someone that says that they believe in the Most High, but then they don't do what he commands them. They don't do what the Heavenly Father instructed them to do. And if the Most High tells you to dress a certain way, that is what you have to do. But if you say, oh, I believe in God, but then you are the opposite, you're dressed like a whore, you're dressed like an idolater, like the other nations, then you're a hypocrite. What is appointed to the hypocrites? Let's see.
There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Right. Why? Because they're being tortured. They're being destroyed. They're being cut in the sense that they're being divided. Christ is going to come back with a sword, people. He ain't going to come back to hand out flowers. He's coming back to judge this earth. Knowing these things, If we go back to the book of Deuteronomy and we read the book of Deuteronomy chapter 23 and verse 17, it's going to help us understand why the Most High gave us a law saying that you're not to cross-dress, that you're not to dress like a woman if you're a man, and that the woman is not to dress like the man. Let's see. Read that.
Deuteronomy chapter 23 and verse 17. There shall be no whore of the daughter of Israel.
The word whore means a woman or a daughter of Israel is not to be dressed in whoredom. Now, wearing pants makes you a whore, whether you believe it or not. Being dressed in a lesbian fashion makes you a whore. Showing off your body makes you what? A whore. Continue.
Nor a sodomite of the sons of Israel.
What is a sodomite? A sodomite is one that imitates the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah. The sin of Sodom and Gomorrah was homosexuality. So the men of Israel are not to dress like what? Like homosexuals. So therefore, a man is not to be like a woman. Let's go to the law in Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 13 to show you the law concerning homosexuality.
Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 13. If a man also lie with mankind, as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination.
So showing you what? That if a man deals sexually with a man, as he does with a woman, he says that he hath committed what? An abomination. Okay? Surely what happens to this man?
They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them.
What do you think Christ is going to do to that man when he returns? Let's read it again.
They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them.
What that means is that if you don't repent of that sin now, instead of the blood of Christ giving you mercy, your blood is going to be required at the second coming of Christ. That's what's going to be required. We have to understand that it's not just the act of homosexuality, but also being dressed like one is a sin in the eyes of the Most High. Let's go to the book of Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 and verse 26. To show you that basically in the so-called New Testament, it speaks about this. Romans 1 and 26.
Romans chapter 1 and verse 26. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affection.
Right, so the Most High, because the people did not want to acknowledge Him as the only God, He gave them up to their own affection. And what kind of affection did they have? It said vile, meaning it was not right. Continue.
For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature.
Right, the natural use of a woman is to deal with a man, to bring up children, to be a wife. But she changed her natural use against what is natural. Continue.
And likewise,
just like the women, continue,
also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burning their lust one toward another, men with men.
So what is it showing you? Homosexuality. Women doing it, likewise who else? The men. So a woman that is in a homosexual kind of mind, she's a whore. She's a sodomitess. Whereas a man that commits that actual act, he's a sodomite. Men with men, read.
Working that which is unseemly.
Working that which is not right in the eyesight of the Most High. That which is not supposed to be seen. Continue.
And receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet.
Receiving in themselves, meaning receiving in their bodies, that recompense of payment. The Most High repaid them. That's what the word recompense means. Of their error. He paid them back for their mistake, for their wickedness, which was good. That's what the word meat means. So when a person gets an STD, such as AIDS, that was a payment from the Heavenly Father. Now let's jump down and let's read verse 32.
Verse 32. Who knoweth the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death?
What things? What things? What things are they committing? We just read it in verse 26 and 27. Homosexuality. They which commit such things are what?
Are worthy of death.
So does it change under Christ? No. The judgment of God stays the same. Continue.
Not only do the same.
So now, you not only have to deal sexually, because a lot of you might be saying, well, I'm not a homosexual. A lot of you women say, well, I'm not a lesbian. But you're wearing pants. You're being dressed like a man. You're not doing the same. I know you're not dealing with women. But if you're dressed in this way, what happens? Let's see.
But have pleasure in them that do them.
So not only is that judgment going to come upon those that do the act, but also on them that have what? Pleasure in those that do such wickedness. Now, When you look at the fashion industry, who is the one making all these designs and making all this hoopla about what clothes for people to wear? Isn't it the homosexuals that run? Like, look at the Tyra Banks show, whatever that show is called. Who's the one giving the instruction of how the women are to dress and hoard them? Is homosexuals.
Mm-hmm.
That's why when you look at the women wearing those tight jeans and they're saying this is a women's pants, they are contradicting everything. Why? Because pants, first and foremost, were not made for women. Second of all, because they're tight on your bottom, that does not mean that they are women pants. That means that you're dressed like a whore. Let's go to the book of Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. Because we got to put it as it is, brothers and sisters. If you're offended at the word of the Most High, then you're not of the Spirit of God. Then that means you're still what? In bondage to sin. And you're going to end up getting destroyed. Romans 12 and 1 says what?
Romans chapter 12 verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God.
Right, because we are begging you by the mercy of the Most High to change. That's what the word beseech means. The Most High is showing you mercy and allowing you to hear this class so that you could change the way you dress. By the mercies of God, read,
that you present your bodies a living sacrifice.
We're not talking about a dead sacrifice. It's a living sacrifice. Because a lot of you are saying, well, I don't want to look like granny. You put evil connotations. You worrying about what other people think. Listen, at the beginning, it's going to be a sacrifice. But guess what? It is not something hard. You have to present your bodies like the Most High commanded you to dress. Nobody's telling you got to look ugly. What you're being told is you got to dress in modesty. You got to dress according to what the Heavenly Father commanded. Continue.
Holy, acceptable unto
God. You hear that? Holy. What is holy? Holy as he is holy. Your temple, your body is supposed to be holy. It's supposed to be acceptable unto God. You think that's acceptable to be dressed in pants when he told you not to? You think that's acceptable to be wearing your man's shirt, to be dressed in any article of man's clothing and things that belong to men? It's not acceptable. And it's not acceptable for you men to wear women's clothes. Like some of you might go into the female section of Foot Locker to buy sneakers because you think it's cheaper. No, it's not acceptable to the Most High. Continue.
Which is your reasonable service.
Right, which is your reasonable, meaning you're supposed to be doing this. It's only reasonable. It only makes sense for you to be a man if you were born a man. It only makes sense for you to be a woman if you are a woman. Continue.
Verse 2. And be not conformed to this world.
Don't be conformed to this world. Forget about what this world says. Yeah, this world might say that there's such thing as what? Female pants. Well, guess what? This world also say that there's what? Male dresses. They make male skirts now. That is not for us to be conformed or to follow this world. The customs of Israel is found in the scriptures, not in the world. Be not conformed to this world, read.
But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind.
You need to start cleaning the filth out of your mind. You need to transform your mind to the way that the Most High told us to think. You need to stop thinking about, oh, this looks hot. My booty looks nice. I want to show off my booty. No, that's not the way you're supposed to be thinking. You shouldn't be thinking, oh, I'm a man, you know, with a woman trapped inside of my body. No. What's supposed to be trapped inside of your body is the Holy Spirit of the Most High. So you need to transform the way you're thinking. Continue.
That you may prove what is that good.
Right, you need to prove that which is good. When somebody comes up to us and say, why you wear that? Guess what, we go right into the Bible and prove it. Continue.
An acceptable and perfect will of God.
This is what is acceptable. This is what is the perfect will of the Heavenly Father. Let's go from there to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I hope you brothers and sisters are really taking down notes with us, writing these scriptures down. I know you have the report right in front of you and you can print it out, but it's also good to follow through with the Bible and read it on your own. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and let's read verse 9.
1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?
You heard that question? Don't you know that the unrighteous, the word unrighteous means those that do not keep the commandments, those that do not keep the laws, will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't you know that? Continue.
Be not deceived.
Guess what? A lot of our people have been deceived into thinking that what? Just about anybody can make it to the kingdom. But that's a lie. Be not deceived, read.
Neither fornicators.
What does it mean, a fornicator? Homosexuals, they're fornicators. Those that commit bestiality, they're fornicators. Those that sleep with their family members. Incest, right? Brother sleeping with the sister, father sleeping with the daughter, that's incest. They are fornicators. Continue.
No idolaters,
meaning those that worship other gods. Continue.
No adulterers,
meaning those that commit adultery, sleeping with your neighbor's wife, or woman sleeping with any man that is not her husband. Continue.
Nor effeminate.
That's the word that I wanted to get from this verse. Nor effeminate. What does it mean, effeminate? A man having a feminine spirit. Yeah, you might not be dealing sexually with a man, but the fact that you carry yourself like a woman, the Most High says you will not inherit the kingdom of God. Where does Paul get this effeminate law from? He gets it from Deuteronomy 22 and verse 5. He's showing you that what? That commandment is to be kept by us. Nor effeminate, read on.
Nor abuses of themselves with mankind.
To abuse your body with mankind means to do what? Homosexuality. To basically abuse your body sexually. Continue.
Nor thieves, nor covetous,
meaning those that are what? Always lusting after things that do not belong to them. Continue.
Nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God.
Right, it says nor revilers. A reviler is someone that speaks evil. Nor extortioners, those that try to blackmail people, shall inherit the kingdom of God. So let's go back to Deuteronomy 22 and 5, and then we're going to move on to the next law, brothers and sisters. Deuteronomy 22 and 5, and let's read that one more time. Because we have a lot of times people that they get offended at this commandment. And a lot of people get an impression that this commandment is not important. So you have the sisters that claim to be Israelites, but they're wearing what? Pants. Females wearing pants. And you got the men dressing up like who? Like women. So Deuteronomy 22 and 5.
Deuteronomy chapter 22 and verse 5. The women shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man.
So that, to explain it one more time, means that a woman is not to dress or wear anything that belongs to a man. Continue.
Neither shall a man put on a woman's garment.
This is the reason why we went back to Deuteronomy. Because it says, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. Guess what? The Bible shows you that women had certain kinds of clothes. Women's garment. It didn't say what pertains to a woman. Because many things didn't pertain to a woman. There's only one thing that pertains to a woman, and it's a dress. A woman's garment. Let's read about the woman's garment. Let's go to the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 13. To show you, brothers and sisters, that the Bible speaks of what women are to wear. 2 Samuel, chapter 13. And we're going to get straight to the point. 2 Samuel 13. And verse 18.
And she had a garment of diverse colors upon her.
Now it says she had a garment of diverse, meaning different colors, upon her. Continue.
For with such robes were the king's daughters, that were virgins apparel. Then his servants brought her out and bolted the door after her.
Now it said that the garment was of different kinds of colors. But notice what it called the garment. In the same verse, for with such robes were the king's daughters that were virgins apparel. So the garment is called also what? A robe. Now, let's look at a robe and examine how a robe is. Let's look at a robe in the sense of what it is. A robe is basically a dress. It's no different than what today is worn. If you look up the word robe in a dictionary, it will tell you exactly that, a dress. Especially when it speaks of a feminine tense. Because here we're talking about a woman's robe, which was basically a tunic that she had on. A very long tunic that the virgins had on. Notice it said that this is only what the woman or the king's daughters wore. You don't read about the king has sons. And notice it said that they also wore that. And so it's showing you that there's a difference in what men wear and there's a difference in what women wear. If you go to a bathroom and you see a sign for, you know, the men's side, you see that it shows the men wearing pants. But the women's side, for the bathroom, it shows you a woman with a what? With a skirt or a dress on. Immediately, you can identify visually that what? One is for men and the other one is for what? Women. So it's not a difficult commandment to understand. It only becomes difficult if you're what? Offended at the Most High's words. If you prideful. The next commandment that we're going to move on to is basically in Numbers chapter 15, verse 38. Because this commandment that the Most High gave us in the book of Numbers, chapter 15, verse 38, is one of the commandments that is very important for us because it identifies the children of Israel. So here in Numbers 15:38, read that.
I'm going to start at 37.
All right.
Numbers 15, verse 37. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel and bid them that they make them fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generations, and that they put upon the fringe of the borders a ribbon of blue.
Right, so when the Most High said bid them, it was not a suggestion, it meant a command them. Command them that they make them fringes in the borders of their garments. Now this says in the borders. The borders is basically the hem, the end of your garment, the bottom part of your garment. All around the hem of your garment is supposed to be fringes. Now back then, remember that a lot of the material that was used and the interweaving of the clothing was done by hand. It was done by our people. So the end, they will leave it undone, and that end look like what? Like, it's not tassels, but it's basically the material hanging off from it. You saw a lot of the Native Americans, they used to have a lot of fringes on their clothing. Whether it was in the bottom of their skirts or dresses for women, or was in the bottom of the men's shirt. That was the fringes that were worn according to the commandment. Why? Because the Native Americans are Israelites. And they knew the commandment of the Most High, although they have lost their heritage as of now. So now, it says, make them fringes on the borders of their garments throughout their generations. What do I mean throughout the generations? Meaning as long as Israel exists, this commandment is to be done. Must be kept. It says, and that they put upon the fringe of the borders a ribbon of blue. So now imagine to yourself, if you leave the bottom undone, the hem undone, what's going to end up happening to the material? It's going to continue what? Rising up. So the ribbon of blue, which was a ribbon, was sewn to stop the material from what? From rising up and coming apart. So the Most High tells us basically to have fringes on the bottom of our garments. Now, you could buy fringes in clothing material stores, in places that sell sewing supplies. You could buy the ribbon of blue in those locations as well. Or you could make the fringes yourself. Grab a scissor and cut the bottom into fringes. But you must put the ribbon of blue. Now, why did the Most High give us this? Let's read on.
Verse 39. And it shall be unto you for a fringe that ye may look upon it, and remember all the commandments of the Lord.
Right, so it's not, we can't pick and choose what commandments we're going to keep. We have to remember all the commandments of the Lord. So the fringes are there to remind us of who we are, to also help identify the children of Israel. Continue.
And do them.
And do them. It's not just to remember them, but also to do them. Read.
And that ye seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, after which ye used to go a whoring.
Right. So if we're not dressed according to the how the Most High said, he said we're going to what? A whoring. Going after our own eyes. Oh, I like how that looks. I like how that chick, you know, she's showing off her cleavage. Oh, let me dress that way.
Hmm.
Oh, I like how this guy, he's wearing that muscle shirt, so he's showing off his body. Let me dress that way. I like that metrosexual look. No, we're not to dress according to this world, after which we used to go a whoring. Because our people definitely were what? Were laying down with certain people just because of how they look physically on their clothes. They weren't worrying about marriage. You weren't worried about, you know, that brother or that sister talking to you about the scriptures. You were worrying about how they perceive you sexually. We're not to think in that fashion anymore. Continue. Verse 40.
I'm going to start from the top.
Okay.
And it shall be unto you for a fringe, that ye may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them, and that ye seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, after which ye used to go a whoring, that ye may remember and do all my commandments and be holy unto your God.
So all these commandments were given to the children of Israel so that we would learn how to be holy unto the Most High. Let's go to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, and we're going to read from verse 9.
1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 9. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel.
So the word adorn means that they dress themselves, that they decorate themselves in modest apparel. So now, based on what we have read in the law of the Most High, we know that you have learned that you are not to wear pants, and that you have to dress what? With skirts, wear dresses. But now that doesn't mean that the dress or the skirt is going to be short, showing off your thighs, showing off your body. That doesn't mean that the clothes you're going to wear now are going to be tight on your skin. No, it's supposed to be loose-fitting clothing. Modest means that you're not showing off your body. In modest apparel, continue.
With shamefacedness.
With shamefacedness, meaning that you know that you will be ashamed if somebody saw your nakedness. Didn't we read in Isaiah 47 about if her thigh is shown, then you will see what? Her nakedness, and that her shame will be shown. We're not to be like that, where we have no shame, and therefore we dress out of order. Continue.
With shamefacedness and sobriety, not with braided hair, or gold, or pearls, or costly array.
In other words, the Most High is saying, don't put your focus on beautifying the outward appearance, and inside you're a demon. The Most High is letting you know, yeah, it's fine for you to wear jewelry, it's fine for you to dress up nice, but you have to do it how? In modesty. Go to 1 Peter chapter 3 to explain that part where it says, not in gold or costly array or braided hair, but in modesty. Let's find that, 1 Peter 3 and 3.
1 Peter chapter 3, verse 3. Whose adorning let it not be the outward adorning of plaiting the hair, and of wearing of gold, or putting on of apparel.
So this is saying the same exact thing we read where? In 1 Timothy chapter 2. That your focus is not to be on the outward appearance, on braiding your hair, putting gold, putting on apparel, trying to dress up to seduce people. Continue.
Verse 4. But let it be the hidden man of the heart.
Right, but let it be that your focus is in what? In the heart, in the spirit, the hidden man. That which cannot be seen outwardly. Continue.
And that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price.
Right, so in other words, the way you are supposed to dress is in modesty, like it said in 1 Timothy 2. So therefore, yeah, you might be saying, oh, I'm not going to wear pants anymore. But then if you're wearing poom-poom shorts, if you're wearing the mini skirts, you still not dress modest. If your focus is on how your hair looks, and you still dressing, you know, all flamboyant, instead of being modest, instead of learning the scriptures, then you are not in the spirit. You're forgetting that you're not to go whoring after your eyes. Let's go to the book of Proverbs, chapter 7 and verse 10. Proverbs, chapter 7 and verse 10. To show brothers and sisters that you could point out what kind of person you are based on how you're dressed. Read that.
Proverbs, chapter 7 and verse 10. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot.
The word attire means clothing. There met him a woman with the clothing of what?
The attire of an harlot.
The attire, the clothing of a whore, of a prostitute. Continue.
And subtile of heart.
And she was slick in her mind. She was slick with her tongue. All right? And a lot of brothers and sisters get caught up in that spirit where they dress up like what? Like prostitutes. And they get offended when men look at them in a sexual fashion. If you don't want to be looked at sexually, and you want to be looked upon as something holy and righteous and something to respect, then dress according to the laws of the Heavenly Father. This also goes for the men. The men are not to be dressed like metrosexuals. They are to be dressed like men, with their beards, with their garments, with their fringes, and the women have to wear their fringes as well, and showing themselves, carrying themselves as true Israelites. Let's go to the book of Ecclesiasticus and the Apocrypha to show you again that you could tell a person by what they're dressed. So therefore, like for example, can you tell a nun by how she's dressed? Can you tell a Muslim woman by how she's dressed? Can you tell a police officer by how he's dressed? Can you tell a Shaolin monk by the way he's dressed? Yes. So therefore, you could tell an Israelite by the dress code laws of the Heavenly Father. Ecclesiasticus chapter 19 and verse 29.
Ecclesiasticus chapter 19 verse 29. A man may be known by his look.
You hear that? The Most High said a man may be known by his looks. So therefore, if you see some brothers teaching on the streets, and they're only wearing long garments on the Sabbath, but when they take those garments off, They don't have their fringes and ribbon of blue. Then you know what kind of man he is. Then you know he's a hypocrite. If you see a sister saying she's an Israelite, but she's wearing pants, you know what kind of woman she is. She's dressed like a harlot. She's going a whoring after her own sight. Continue.
And one that have understanding by his countenance.
And you could tell a man that has understanding by his face, by his countenance. Continue.
When thou meetest him.
Right, when you meet him. Continue.
A man's attire.
A man's clothing. Continue.
And excessive laughter and gait show what he is.
Right, shows that he is a fool. If he has excessive laughter, if he has gait, and his clothes will also show what? That he is what? A fool. You could tell a person by how they are dressed. All right, therefore you got to glorify the Most High. How are you going to find the Most High when you dress sinfully? You must glorify the Most High in your body and in your spirits. Let's go to the book of Isaiah real quick. We only got a few more scriptures for you, brothers and sisters. Of course, there's more to the dress code laws of the Heavenly Father, especially concerning the fringes, because you have some that wear tassels instead of fringes. In due time, if you continue researching through the website, you will find the understanding and the scriptural breakdowns to the word of the Heavenly Father. Going to Isaiah chapter 52, verse 1.
Isaiah chapter 52 and verse 1. Awake, awake. Put on thy strength, O Zion.
Right, wake up. Wake up. Put on your strength. What is your strength? Your strength is in the commandments of the Most High. Your strength is in doing what the Heavenly Father instructed you. O Zion. Zion is Israel, the monument of the Lord. Continue.
Put on thy beautiful garments.
Right, put on your beautiful garments. Put on, the women, put on your dresses. Dress modestly. Put on your fringes on the bottom of your skirts. Put on the fringes and the blouses. Put on the head covering. Put on the beautiful garments. The men, put on your pants. Put on your shirts. Put on your garments. Put on the fringes on your shirts. Put on the beautiful things of the Most High. Continue.
O Jerusalem, the holy city, for henceforth there shall no more come into thee the uncircumcised and the unclean.
Right, those that are in sin, those that are uncircumcised in their minds, those that did not take the wickedness out of from their bodies, and those that are continue being unclean, they're not going to come into the land. Because the fashion of this world, we're going to read about it. What will it end up being? Let's go to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 7 to show you what is the end of the fashion of this world. So we've shown you the promises of the Most High, 1 Corinthians 7. We've shown you that the Most High is letting you know that if you put on the beautiful garments, you will enter into the holy city of Jerusalem. So we're going to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and we're going to read verse 31.
1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 31. And they that use this world as not abusing it.
Right, what does it mean use this world and not abusing it? You don't have to make your own clothes. We're not telling you to go in and make your own clothes. You could buy your clothes at Macy's or whatever stores you like. But do not abuse this world. How you abuse this world? Just because you like some tight clothing, that doesn't mean you have to buy it. The Most High is letting you know, do not buy those tight clothes. But you want to look sexy? Look sexy for your husband, not for everybody else. Use this world, but do not abuse it. You like buying some nice clothes? Okay, buy you some nice clothes, but make sure that it's according to what you learned in the law. Continue.
For the fashion of this world passeth away.
You know what it means, the fashion of this world passeth away? The fashion of this world is going to be destroyed. Mm. It's no longer going to exist when Christ comes back. It's going to pass away. So you think it's fashionable now? 5 years from now, it's not going to be fashionable. And it's going to be sitting in your closet. But guess what? When Christ returns, it's not going to be fashionable at all. It's going to be completely done away with. Why? Because the beautiful garments of Israel will be put on. And it has to start now. What if you do not take heed? What if you want to continue walking in your own way, dressed in whoredom? What will happen to you? Let's go to the book of Zephaniah, chapter 1, to show you what is the judgment that the Most High will bring upon those that dressed unlawfully. Zephaniah chapter 1.
Zephaniah chapter 1.
And verse 8.
And verse 8. And it shall come to pass in the day of the Lord's sacrifice that I will punish the princes.
So stop. The Lord's sacrifice is the day when Christ returns. Why is he called that sacrifice? Because instead of an animal being sacrificed for sin, you become the sacrifice. That day is the day when those that are wicked will be punished. Because he said that I will punish the princes, meaning he will punish those Israelites, those elders, and those that are supposed to be the princes of this world for what? You see?
I will punish the princes and the king's children and all such as are clothed with strange apparel.
You hear that? He's going to punish those that are clothed with strange apparel. So he's going to punish those that are clothed in wickedness. Now, remember what we read in Numbers chapter 15? That if we don't have our fringes, we are what? Going to whoring? Let's read that again. In Numbers chapter 15. Because I want you to really soak this in. Marinate in this. Alright? Let the seasoning come upon you. Numbers chapter 15. And let's read that part again. Verse 39.
Verse 39, and it shall be unto you for a fringe, that ye may look upon it, and remember all the commandments of the Lord, and do them, and that ye seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, after which ye used to go a whoring.
So now, if you don't wear your fringes, you're doing what? You're going a whoring. Now let's see what happens to those that go a whoring. Let's go to the book of Psalms, chapter 73, and I believe it's verse 27.
Verse 27. Psalms 73 and verse 27. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish.
So those that are far from knowing this truth, we know they're going to be destroyed. They're going to perish. Continue.
Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee.
You hear that? Those that go a-whoring from the Most High, they will be what?
For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish.
Continue.
Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee.
So if you don't wear your fringes, if you don't dress according to the Most High, he already told you that he hath destroyed all those that have gone a-whoring from him. So with that, brothers and sisters, we hope that this class was edifying to you. Please forward this class to as many brothers and sisters as you like. Make sure that you keep the information intact. And remember that the website is 12tribes.net or RiseIsrael.com. Please contact us if you have any questions via email or via the telephone number, which is 888-447-1695. Have a blessed one, and hopefully we see you again. Shalom.
Shalom.